taxes, creating even a weaker economy, weaker situation, because you're giving handouts, picking winners and losers in the process. And that never works out well because the government doesn't have enough information. And ultimately, it's based on the winning elections versus what's best for the economy. Hello, welcome to this week's Economy. I'm your host, Dr. Vance Ginn. I hope you're having a prosperous day. Well, today I'm delighted to bring on this week's Economy, episode 57, Handouts Threaten America's Future. Do you believe it? Well, you should. What do deficits, corporate welfare, Medicaid, and property taxes have in common? Well, let's find out in the next 10 minutes. Well, what I really wanted to start off with here was first saying that on April 13th was 13 years since I lost my dad to SUDEP, sudden unexpected death and epilepsy. I put a link to this in the show notes page, but basically I miss him a lot. It's been a tough 13 years not having around with my kids and everything else, but I believe he's in heaven and looking down on me with a smile as he always is. But I wanted to share that with you. Thank you for listening to the podcast and some insights, you know, along the way there. So getting into some more of the news, though, why is Congress spending more on foreign affairs when we're in a spending crisis, which makes us weaker domestically and abroad? This week, I was on Neil Cavuto's Fox Business talking about this. When we're already running $2 trillion plus deficits, Speaker Mike Johnson from the House now has put forward these three bills where basically is $95 billion to fund Ukraine's war with Russia, to fund Israel's war with Iran and Hamas and everything, everyone else, it seems like, in the Middle East, and another bill that would give more money to Taiwan, of all places. And the idea is that we're in these foreign wars, and so we've got to spend more to do things, but nothing is free. Even these wars, right? There's a price for it. And I think, for one thing, we haven't declared war on any of these countries, so that's maybe something that should come up first, if that's really what's all about here. I also would like to see spending offsets. If we're going to spend $95 billion more, which we don't have, we're going to run up more deficits and debt and create more inflationary pressures and higher interest rates and less economic growth. And therefore disrupt people's livelihoods across the economy, I think we should have these spending offsets to make sure it doesn't raise the deficit if we're going to spend it at all. And otherwise, we need to be thinking about audits. We need to be looking at where these dollars are actually going. There's a lot of evidence that the money to Ukraine is not going for boots on the ground or for fighting or for even military reasons. It's going to benefit those, the upper incomes, the upper echelon of those in Ukraine. And so that's something we need to look at. When you're thinking about Israel, you know, what are the situation that's going on there? We already send them billions of dollars every year. Why would we send them more? And then in Taiwan, yes, they're a friend dealing with China, but nothing else seems to be going on there right now. I don't know that these are the types of things that we should be spending money on in the process. And look, this is making us weaker domestically and abroad because it's growing our deficits. It's depreciating the dollar and everything else. So we've really got to get a handle of what's happening here. And I think ultimately, if we could put in audits, if we put in spending offsets, that would make a better situation, even though there are still a lot of domestic things that should be looked at as well. So I think that we need to stop spending. As you know, we need a spending limit. We need to make sure that we have sustainable budgets moving forward for the future, so we have the average taxpayer not being penalized so much for this excessive government that we have across the country. Now, the second point here that I wanted to talk about was, are tariffs the best way to reduce trade deficits with other countries? There's a new paper at Cato Institute by Erica York, who she's of the Tax Foundation. She provides valuable insights on what's going on here with these tariffs. And what she shows, and through the research and through evidence, is that tariffs don't bring down trade deficits. She shows it as a share of GDP. It did not go down after the Trump tariffs because you have other issues that go on. Even when I was at the White House, the chief economist of the White House's Office of Management and Budget, I was doing reports that showed that this does reduce economic growth whenever you have tariffs, when you have trade wars, because it's not just one tariff. It's a reciprocal trade war that happens between different countries. And remember, it's not countries that trade, it's individuals that trade in between the different countries. And so we got to be aware of that. And at the same time, when you put in tariffs in place, you also contribute to appreciation of the dollar. That's just the way the exchange trade system works. And when you do that, that makes it cheaper for us to buy those foreign goods. So even if you have the tariff that raises some of the cost or raises the cost, at the same to Americans, you also have the appreciation of the dollar, which makes it cheaper for Americans to buy those. And so that's really almost a wash. That's why the trade deficit ultimately doesn't go down. down, and we shouldn't be hindering people's decisions and preferences to buy from other countries and reduce our cost of living over time to so that they can satisfy their desires. This is not a good situation. So I put this in the show notes. Be sure to check that out as well. So why should National Conservatives Conference in Brussels not have been shut down by police, even when they were misguided with their assumptions and solutions? I signed a statement with the Freedom Conservatives against shutting down this conference in Brussels by the police. Like, I don't agree with National Conservatives. I think that they are a big government progressive policy group that wants to have more political power and control over the situation across the economy. And as soon as they may get their stuff done with the executive power and everything else, then when the other side comes in, they'll use the executive power to kind of go back and forth instead of allowing for the congressional process to take place. And there hasn't been this libertarian paradise that I or some others might want. Even since Reagan or anything else, this has been a situation of bigger government and bigger government over time. And so while I disagree with them vehemently of the National Conservatives, I do think that they should have the right to have freedom of speech to be able to talk about these things in Brussels and other places. So that was not a good idea there at all. So here's another issue, though. How can Texas eliminate property taxes, even as the Houston Chronicle and others push back on such a pro-growth proposal? What we should be doing is better spend in tax policy would have put Texas at the top of Alex's economic outlook ranking by following my approach. And I talk a lot about this. I've talked to the Lieutenant Governor, the Governor Abbott, and everyone else about what the best pro-growth policy approach would be. I am fully in favor of eliminating property taxes, all of them. I think they are a wealth tax. They're an unrealized capital gains tax. It imposes on our God-given right to own our property instead of renting from the government forever. And I just think it's an antiquated, arcane form of tax based on property ownership, quote-unquote ownership that people used to have to get those resources from people that we don't need anymore in the 21st century. And the way to do that, there's a few ways to do that. You could broaden the sales tax base and not raise the rate if all, and also restrain spending and bring down the sales tax rate over time with surplus funds. That's one way, which I think is a pro-growth way that can do it overnight, and it would be great opportunity there. Not raising the sales tax rate to 20% or something else, that's just ridiculous. Nobody's talking about doing that, and that's not even on the table. So just forget that entirely, okay? But the other approach is to limit government spending. It's always starts with limited government spending, and use surplus money to buy down the school maintenance and operation property tax rates. And that's really what all I've been talking about lately has been, is just the school M&O portion for the state to be involved with, because they essentially run the state school finance system anyway. That statewide property, that school M&O property tax is really just a statewide property tax. It's local in name only, okay? That's how the system works in Texas. And so if you use the surplus money to buy it down each period, it could take about a decade to eliminate nearly half the property tax burden in Texas. Well, what do you do with the other half? Well, that's where the local governments come in. I think the state should impose a Colorado-style Tabor that limits constitutionally spending at the state and local level too, which currently does not have a local spending limit in Texas, and it would cover both of those based on population growth plus inflation, and any sort of surpluses by the state would go to lowering the school M&O property taxes, and any surpluses by local governments could lower their property taxes, and then you have a situation where all property taxes are going to zero. You talk about an economic juggernaut in Texas has already been for so long, although that's depleting some here recently, as even Alex's economic performance ranking went down from like first or second down to sixth, because I think the bigger government policy that's happened over the last couple of years. And if we continue that direction, it's going to be a nightmare, and we fall into the hands of the progressives, the NatCons, and things of that nature. That's not the direction that Texas needs to go. Moving towards eliminating property taxes will do it. We don't have an income tax, thank the Lord, but we need to be doing that as well. I also wanted to mention how there's a one-door policy recently passed the U.S. House would help improve safety net programs by states. We need to use our system of federalism, allow for states to compete in this laboratory of competition, and the work by the Alliance for Opportunity, which is the group between the Texas Public Policy Foundation, Pelican Institute, and Georgia Center for Opportunity, has been pushing this approach that's basically the Utah model. Let's put in our training and our work efforts and work requirements, connect it with Health and Human Services, these safety net programs. And if you put that all under one house, then you can streamline it and reduce cost and make it sure that it's better for the people we're trying to serve. So I think it's a good approach by the House that has already passed it. We need the Senate to pass it and then put it in the overall WIOA bill to make sure that it moves forward into the future. The next point, why are individual policy and handouts to individuals or businesses doomed to fail? fail. This includes government-mandated national paid family leave proposed by Biden. It also includes Medicaid. It includes the property tax abatements in Texas, and it includes the CHIPS Act, which just talked about sending billions of dollars. It's $40 billion to big businesses instead of the taxpayers. And as we're already running deficits, we don't need to keep doing this. This is creating even a weaker economy, weaker situation, because you're giving handouts, picking winners and losers in the process. And that never works out well, because the government doesn't have enough information. And ultimately, it's based on the winning elections versus what's best for the economy. So we need to get away from that. According to my, you know, if we're looking back at our media hits and stuff like that, that I've been doing recently, I had a good piece at AIER on Tax Day, where basically I talk about how, you know, what are these different dates that are going on in April? Well, you have April 15th, which is tax day. Tax Freedom Day is April 16th. So that's how long, almost 30% of the year, that you've got to work just to pay your taxes, much less money for yourself. This is a bad situation. We need more fiscal sanity of spending restraint, which we're not doing a lot of that right now before things come back online. So we need to make sure that we adhere to that. Make sure to watch this week's Let People Prosper episode with Dr. Kevin Kosar of the American Enterprise Institute on why government projects don't work as intended and the appropriate government roles. Don't miss that one. It's a great discussion that we have. I think you'll really like it a lot. The upcoming episode on Monday is with Connor Boyack, talking about the Tuttle twins, talking about free market roles for government, and other things that I think you just don't want to miss. The quote of the day comes from Milton Friedman. So, quote, "I'm in favor of cutting taxes under any circumstances and for any excuse, for any reason, and whenever it's possible, because I believe the big problem is not taxes. The big problem is spending." That's exactly right. Spending is the ultimate burden of government. Not taxes are just a symptom of that disease. The Bible verse of the week is Lamentations 3:22. "The faithful love of the Lord never ends." I've felt the love of the Lord in so many ways in my life, and I hope you have too. Wouldn't be here today without it. And so I pray for you and my family till we continue to prosper over time and everything else. So I thank you for joining me today. Remember, you can find all the show notes page at vanceginn.substack.com, or go to vanceginn.com for all this information and a lot more. And give me a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcast. I appreciate it so much. Thank you. Let people prosper.